This is Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to this week's podcast of From the Top. Enjoy.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. So what were you doing at the age of 15? Had you invented a new solution for protecting limestone monuments? Were you on the board of a museum? Could you toss up a performance of a Beethoven piano sonata with aplomb? Well, today we'll meet a 15-year-old who just happens to have done all those things. Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. Today we're coming to you from Kobacher Hall in the Moore Musical Arts Center on the campus of Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio. Thanks to our hosts, the College of Musical Arts, for inviting us to kick off their festival series, Arts Performances for the Regional Community. But the College of Musical Arts here at Bowling Green has made a name for itself beyond Northwest Ohio. It's the home of the Mid-American Center for Contemporary Music, and close to my heart, the college hosts the David D. Dubois Piano Festival and Competition. I was honored enough to be an adjudicator at the Dubois competition last year, and I remember hearing the kids in the later rounds and telling everybody here and telling our music producer Tom Vigneri back in Boston that I wanted all of them invited. It's a very, very high-level production. So it was a no-brainer to figure out who we wanted to start today's show. Obviously, the winner of the 2013 Dubois competition. Please welcome, from Houston, Texas, 15-year-old pianist Patrick Pan. Patrick, welcome and congratulations, of course. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
I'm going to play Beethoven's Sonata, Opus 31, Number 3, Second Movement, Scherzo.
When you're ready, please take it from the top. Thank you. Patrick Pan, 15 years old, pianist from Houston, Texas, playing the Scherzo movement from Beethoven's Sonata No. 18 in E-flat, familiarly known as The Hunt. Patrick very jovially played Beethoven. We don't usually hear him in that kind of mood. Very nice to hear you. It really put a smile on our face. You're clearly a very talented pianist, but you're no slacker in the other parts of your life. At 15, you were graduating high school when?
June 2014.
So in other words, this year?
This year.
Okay, so you must be applying to colleges now. So your SAT scores are very, very important. Go ahead, tell everybody what you got in your SATs.
2400.
No, that's what you could possibly get if you got a perfect score, Patrick.
Yeah, 2400.
You got 2400 on his SATs. So to put it mildly, you're doing well academically. But I was really blown away by your science project. Tell everybody about that.
Sure. So in 1836, Texas won its independence from Mexico at the Battle of San Jacinto. And 100 years later, in 1936, there was a monument, San Jacinto Monument was built at the battlegrounds to commemorate the revolution. Now, it happened that the monument and the Washington Monument were being built at the same time. And it was planned that the San Jacinto Monument was going to be taller. Washington heard, they made themselves taller. And then we added a star to our top, so now we're taller than the Washington Monument. So the San Jacinto Monument is the tallest in the world. The problem with the monument is that it's coated with a facade of limestone about half an inch thick. And back in 1936, this wasn't really a problem, but in the modern day, there's been chemical plants built all over the monument's surrounding area. And that produces acid rain, which damages the limestone facade. And so when the limestone gets very damaged because it has very intricate carvings all over its surface, whenever it's sufficiently damaged, what the government does is they just chop off all the limestone and recarve it and replace it, which is awfully wasteful. It's like $15 million, and it has to be done every 5 to 10 years, which is a huge waste. So I found a solution called a petroleum distillate that you can just spray onto the surface of the limestone. It preserves the limestone totally without any damage for 30 to 50 years, and it costs $828,000.
So you are saving them mad money. I mean, but that's such a great and fantastic solution that you came up with that all on your own.
Yeah.
I'm sure the city of Houston's got to be very, very happy. Maybe not the limestone restorers so much, but... And it really is a sense of civic duty and responsibility. You do a lot of volunteering as well, yes?
Yes. In Houston, there's a fantastic institute called the Houston Health Museum. It's been around for about 20 years now, and I started visiting around the age of 2. And since I was such a frequent visitor, they'd allow me to participate in their events like dissections of, well, pretty much any animal you'd feel comfortable eating, like sheep, cow, pig, and then any organ that you'd feel comfortable most likely not eating. Because,
right.
Well, brains and livers and eyes, maybe yes. Not for eating.
Okay.
But I would participate in those dissections under the guidance of their professionals at the museum, who are the hospital professionals. And then I'd been visiting for about 7 years when I was 9, when they invited me to be on the board of directors at the museum, which is exciting.
Very exciting. So they wanted the kids to come to the museum, so they asked the authority. Now, there you were at 9 years old on the board of the museum. So at 15, perfect score on your SATs. Contributing majorly to science. You're on the board of a major nonprofit. You won the Dubois competition. Okay, that's it. I'm sorry. Joanne, pull the alarm. Patrick, we sound our overachiever alarm when a young person's accomplishments threaten to make the rest of us feel like chopped liver. But there is a slight penalty when we do, right, Joanne?
That's right. You have to do something dumb to prove to the rest of us that you're still human.
So, Patrick, since you got a perfect score on the math portion of your SAT, you're going to have to solve a math problem right here, right now. You ready?
No.
You have no choice.
Okay, Patrick. Peter Humphrey's mom sends little Peter out to buy her 32 ounces of sugar so she can make one half of a batch of brownies. When the recipe is made in full, it makes 2 pans, and each pan can be cut into 12 brownies. Now, the temperature of the oven is 350 degrees, and the temperature in Stuttgart is 60. Mrs. Humphrey is wearing sensible shoes. She sends Peter out with $20 in his pocket, and the sugar he needs to buy costs exactly $3. How much change is Peter given?
$17.
Still got it right. You are just scary smart. Just for that, but also because you're a terrific pianist, we're going to have you come back at the end of the show to play again. Is that all right with you, Patrick?
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Best of luck. Patrick Penn, 15-year-old pianist from Houston, Texas.
Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists, and she's standing with her violin at the mic. Her name is Sayin An, and she's 15, and she comes to us from Maple Glen, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. Sayin, I know there's a concert violinist you really love. Who's that?
Yes, and her name is Janine Janssen, and she's so inspirational to me because her energy and her enthusiasm in her playing is so just great. And I just want to be like her. And whenever I don't feel like practicing, I just watch one of her videos on YouTube. And that will usually motivate me to start practicing to be like her, which is my ultimate goal in life.
So it's pretty clear she's your absolute favorite. Listen to a phone call that came in from Europe.
Hey, Sayin, it's Janine. I have actually just been listening to you, and on YouTube there's some wonderful clips of you, and you sound fantastic and so expressive, and it's really a joy to listen to you. I hear that you're going to be playing Havanaise now, which is a fantastic piece, and I'm looking forward to hearing the recording afterwards and hearing a lot more from you. And actually, thinking about it, I'm playing in Philadelphia, which I think is quite close to your home, end of March. I'm playing with the orchestra there, and I would be so happy to get you two tickets, and you can come to the concert, and we can maybe meet after the concert to say hello and talk a little bit, and would be a real pleasure to meet you. So good luck now, and take care. All the best. Bye.
Bye.
Surprised? That's a nice surprise, right?
Yes. It's
yes.
Cool.
We know how to keep a secret in dress rehearsal.
Oh my gosh, I just can't believe it.
Well, let's make this good. You know, now we've got the inspiration going for us. Tell everyone what we're going to be performing together.
We're going to be playing Havanaise by Saint-Saëns.
Sien An, 15 years old, our violinist from Maple Glen, Pennsylvania, performing the Havanaise in E by Camille Saint-Saëns. Sien is a student at Temple University Music Prep. Well, we got to hear Janine Jensen's, you know, compliments on your beautiful playing, so you don't need mine, but I'll go ahead and say it. It's just beautifully expressive, and we were all with you every moment.
Thank you so much for that call. She's really my role model, and I really love her.
Absolutely. So we totally get that your favorite violinist is Janine Jensen, but you've had your own experience being a concertizing musician. You're no slouch yourself. There was a competition you won recently, so you're doing some concerto work.
I won the North Carolina Symphony Concerto competition, and that led me to this really amazing opportunity where I can play and travel with the North Carolina Symphony Orchestra as a soloist. And it was, I was really speechless at first when my mom told the news, because that meant that I was going to play in the same concert hall as Joshua Bell had once played before, and that really means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And I really got to feel what it's like to be a concert violinist during that experience. But it also made me realize that being a concert violinist is not always like glamorous or like good, because
All those bus trips.
Yeah, and rehearsals and that tension between concerts and like before performances are so like just exhausting to me. And
well, the nuts and bolts of the career are really something, but you know, you've really given back in your own school music program. You really got in there and worked away. Tell everybody about that.
According to my high school orchestra teacher, she told all of her students that our school was in financial need, especially our music department. So my school quartet thought it'd be a really good idea to raise money to help our school. So we played in a restaurant and we raised hundreds of dollars. It was a really good experience for me, because not only it was a lot of fun and it was helpful to our school, it was also new and different from playing like in fancy concert hall like this. So yeah.
So you played in some small venue. You were playing at a club, actually.
Yeah, restaurant. Yeah.
So it's really like, well, just playing that close to an audience, it's almost like playing for a million people on national radio, isn't it? You know, just there you are, close up and personal. Say, and it was wonderful and a great intimate sense that you brought to the Saint-Saëns, and we really enjoyed being with you and playing with you, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Sien An, 15 years old, a violinist from Maple Glen, Pennsylvania. Joanne, do you suppose you could put on your show business voice to do this next one?
Sure can. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome chamber music royalty. This is Quartet Lumiere, the ensemble that won the most prestigious chamber music competition for teenage musicians in the country, the junior division of the 2013 Fischoff Competition.
Wow. What an entrance. I loved the four ponies and the pyrotechnics. Mira, I suppose that sort of treatment is now in your rider.
We would expect nothing less.
Of course. Of course, your quartet, Mira, is from the Academy of the Music Institute of Chicago, a great place for musicians. Will you introduce the members of your quartet?
Our violinists are Galia Kastner and Rebecca Benjamin, and our cellist is Josiah Yu, and I'm Mira Williams, and I play the viola.
And what piece will you be playing for us?
The first movement of Grieg String Quartet in G minor.
Thank you. Quartet Lumiere performing the first movement of Edvard Grieg's String Quartet No. 1 in G minor. Its teenage members are Galia Kastner and Rebecca Benjamin, violinists, Mira Williams, viola, Josiah Yu, cellist. All are students at the Academy of the Music Institute of Chicago. They're coached there by Marco Dreyer. Well, Josiah, I can't really imagine that you four could give a stronger performance of that piece than what we just heard, but apparently there was one performance you were recalling that was just fantastically atmospheric.
That's a nice word you used there.
Actually,
this performance that we had was one of our last performances as a quartet because Rebecca's going to is in college right now, and our group kind of split because of our music school, but this performance was in early June, and at this outdoor event called Music in the Garden, and we got to play there, and we played this movement of the Grieg Quartet, and it was a really nice day, you know, sun was out and stuff, and then we started playing, and then as we got farther into the piece and the music got more powerful and climactic, we started hearing thunder. So we were like looking around, but there was no thunder. It was still nice outside. So we kept playing, and then as the music got even more riveting and is a little chaotic too, the wind started blowing away. So it was blowing really hard, and our music was off the stand by this point. But luckily, we've played this so many times that we had it from memory, and we, as a group, were gelling really greatly. So we finished the piece, and it almost seemed that like our music caused this storm, and it was really cool to see how powerful music can be. Literally.
I think you should rename yourselves the X-Men Quartet.
I like that idea.
I think the audience was in fear for its life at that point.
Yes.
We had some fun earlier with the fact that you guys won the junior division of the Fish-Off competition this year. But, Rebecca, I guess that someone in the group freaked out a little bit before the quarterfinals?
Yeah, the person that is usually the calmest, the one that's, like, giving us the pep talk... Galia freaked out. We were about to go on stage for the quarterfinal rounds of the Fish Off, which is the first round after the first live round. And she was really getting warm and cold and mostly warm. She was
very
like an oven, actually. Yeah. Like, we were fanning her off with our music. And
well, I mean, because I've been to the Fish Off many times beforehand, I think with about three or four groups. And I never, ever pass the quarterfinals.
So it's the Galia Fish-Off curse.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I was until just afraid year. I would, like, put the curse on these wonderful yeah. people, and I was just getting really hot.
So we were fanning her down, and just we're like, Galia, you can do this. We can do this. We've got this. And she eventually calmed down, and you know.
And you won.
And we won, so.
So curse dismissed. Galia, I understand you have something to say to your fellow Americans.
Yeah, sure. I think that all musicians, young, old, whatever age you are, should be in a chamber group. The one great thing about chamber groups is that you are going to be exposed to the other players, like, directly. And you are aware of their melodies, their solos, their accompaniment, because you might be playing the accompaniment, and they might be having the melody, and you don't know that, and you're overdoing them. So it's important that you can know what the people behind you are doing. And that's the great thing about chamber groups, is because you are fully exposed, and you have time to talk about who has the melody, who has the accompaniment. And it's great, because it actually boosts your musicianship as a whole. And so it definitely helped me when I played with orchestras and I played with piano, because I definitely enjoy being in...
I think also, socially, I mean, before we were a quartet, I mean, Galia and Rebecca were tight. Me and Mira were in quartets before, so we knew each other, but we weren't really friends or acquainted with each other until, you know, chamber music brought us together. And I think that's really interesting to see how, like, through 1 year of just playing together, practicing together, competing together... Through good and bad times, you know, we are really close as friends, and we have lifelong relationships now.
Absolutely. Well, I think chamber music encourages empathy and intuition, and you guys are from Chicago, so obviously you don't need any help with your community spirit. You guys are coming back later on in the show to play a piece by a 17-year-old composer. We're really looking forward to that. And meanwhile, the Grieg was stormy and wonderful. Thanks for being
Thank
with
you.
Us. We'll
Thank
see you later.
Thank you.
Quartet Lumiere. Teenagers from Chicagoland, except for that second violinist, Rebecca, who's from Indiana.
Our own Christopher O'Reilly has just recorded Liszt's virtuoso piano transcriptions of music by Berlioz, Mozart, Schubert, Schumann, and Wagner. O'Reilly's Liszt is out on CD or Blu-ray on Oxingale Records. More information at oxingale.com.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Kobacher Hall in the Moore Musical Arts Center on the campus of Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio. Coming up, Quartet Lumiere returns to play the music of a 17-year-old composer. Our Bowling Green performance is made possible with support from media sponsors WGTE Public Media, WBGU, the Toledo Free Press, and the Toledo Blade. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Rolling Stone magazine this week is conducting a reader's poll to determine which is the saddest rock song ever. And there are lots of contenders, as you can imagine. Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones, The Long and Winding Road by Paul McCartney. But I've made an arrangement of the one that I feel is the saddest. It's called Asleep, and it's by The Smiths.
Thank you.
Now please welcome an outstanding 17-year-old composer from Malvern, Pennsylvania, Chasen Goldfinger. Chasen, you've written a very interesting string quartet that you call Elemental, based on the four medieval elements. We're about to hear the fourth movement, but we asked you to describe the first three.
The first movement is based upon the element Earth and its personification, the gnome. And I envision the gnome as a playful, mischievous little creature and used pizzicato to create a moderately paced scherzo around that idea. The second movement is based upon the element water and its representation, the ondine or water nymph. And that movement is very, very flowing legato, uses mutes, uses very flowing string textures. The third movement is called Sylphes. Sylphs are air nymphs and represents the element air. And this movement uses harmonics in the strings, very slowly changing harmonics to give this very strange quality of space. The final movement, which you're about to hear, is the salamandrae, or the fire salamander, representing the final element of fire. And here now to perform it are the teenage members of Quartet Lumière.
Salamandre from Chasen Goldfinger's quartet titled Elemental, performed by the teenage members of Quartet Lumière. Chasen is 17 and comes to us from Malvern, Pennsylvania. Very exciting piece there, Chasen.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Wonderful performance and must be very gratifying. You're in the Columbia-Juilliard dual program this fall. Obviously, you're studying composition at Juilliard, but what are you pursuing at Columbia?
Well, I'm currently pursuing neuroscience and behavior at Columbia University and composition at Juilliard, studying with Robert Beezer.
So I know neuroscience, we probably were turned on by reading Oliver Sacks.
Yes.
I think he's one wonderful favorite writer and practitioner about the intersection of brain and music. And you've got some lab experience yourself, yes?
Yes. In the summer of 2012, I worked in a psychology lab at Columbia University studying songbirds, specifically zebra finches, and how they learn to sing. And basically, only the males sing, and usually they learn from their father or some sort of paternal figure. And the area that I was studying, or with the particular graduate student, was what would happen if a bird learned to sing without a tutor, and what elements of song would still appear, and what elements would be sorely lacking, and comparing it to the developed song of a bird who learned to sing properly.
Of course, this doesn't explain any of the mockingbirds that are trying to imitate, you know, road construction instruments. I've heard that actually a couple of times. Talk about your idea for expanding the audience for new music.
Well, basically, I have an idea for an ensemble or a consortium of musicians to play mostly 20th and 21st century music, but also a few older pieces here and there, and to really expand the concept of the concert hall, both within and outside the hall itself, using in both playing from the stage to the audience, but also using acoustics in other parts of the hall and branching outside of the hall and bringing the music to the audience, especially new music, to audiences who might not be familiar with it, and not being afraid to do pop-up concerts out on the street, on Broadway, playing, I don't know, Gabrielli, two trumpets on two sides of Broadway, or going into Central Park and playing a pop-up quartet or quintet, and to experiment with the sounds of the outside world and incorporate them into the music, and to bring older pieces and present them into in new ways, using different art forms, dancing, visual art, film, any sort of visual effects, and to really grab the audience and enhance the experience of the music with the audience and with the general classical music scene.
Well, Chasen, we look forward to hearing your music in and out of the concert hall. I think
it's
a splendid idea, and congratulations. Wonderful work.
Thank you.
Look forward to hearing more. Chasen Goldfinger, 17 years old, our composer from Malvern, Pennsylvania, now studying in New York.
If you liked what you heard of Chasen's piece Elemental, then check out the whole composition from start to finish on our website. And while you're there, you can download our weekly podcast. Go to fromthetop.org. Chris.
And now to take us out, we're going to hear again from that terrific 15-year-old pianist and Dubois competition winner, Patrick Pan. Patrick, would you introduce the piece you're going to play?
I'm going to play Liszt's concert paraphrase on Verdi's Rigoletto.
A great way to end the show. I want to thank all of our young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Patrick, when you're ready, you can take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And from the estate of Joan Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.